Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine war. Russia says U.S. ordered Kremlin drone strike attack. This is London reporting 24 hours after the first opinion of the drone strike visible in a video over the Kremlin. The first opinion from the London side and the U.S. side was that this cannot be ruled out as a false flag attack. Why? Because Vladimir Putin and the people he trained with as a state security agent often practice false flags, and there's an infamous theory, an infamous fact that is a theory, that Vladimir Putin was part of a false flag attack against apartment buildings in the late 20th century as a predicate for his ascendance to the leadership of the country in order to solve the war in Chechnya. That was then. This is now. And I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He is the director of the Eurasia Program and just back from Ukraine, where he spent some time in hospital in the front Zaporizhia region, which is under bombardment, and some time in Kyiv. And now this turn in the road, an apparent drone attack on the Kremlin, including the first opinion out of Russia that this was an assassination attempt against Vladimir Putin, who we're told was not at the Kremlin. We're also told that the building that we see on the video was empty at the time. Anatole, a very good day to you. This is the twists and turns of a spy thriller. What do you make of these facts that we have now, all untrustworthy? Does this tell us anything about the thinking in the Kremlin, in Washington, in Brussels? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Well, the fact is that we don't really have any facts. You know, we have accusations flying on all sides. I myself am not ruling anything out because I just don't have the means to say definitely. So what one's left with is, you know, a balance of probabilities. Now, as far as the latest Russian charge that the US ordered this attack, if it was an attack, I think myself that that is improbable because we know from CIA leaks that the CIA strongly disapproved of the Ukrainian assassination attempt on the Russian nationalist intellectual Dugin, which killed his daughter, and actually criticized the Ukrainians for that. We have also heard that the U.S., in this case, the Department of Defense, vetoed a Ukrainian plan to kill with a missile the Russian commander-in-chief General Gerasimov. Now, if those two stories are true, it would indicate that the US would really not do anything as risky as try to kill Putin. The other point is that the likelihood, even if Putin had been in the Kremlin, that a strike with a couple of drones would have killed him is extremely low. The Kremlin is a very big place. You could fire a dozen missiles into it without necessarily, you know, killing or hurting somebody. Well, killing or hurting the man you were aiming at. So this, whatever it is, it was, seems to be a symbolic action. Now, as to the idea that it was a false flag operation, we have no evidence for that. And indeed, the Ministry of Defense has not advanced any. It seems to me, by no means impossible, but on balance unlikely, simply because for a strike like this to occur, you know, on the headquarters of the Russian government is an embarrassment for Russia. It indicates serious weaknesses in their security. Now, it's not impossible if, but only, I think, if the Russian government, I mean, if they did that, then the only reason they can have done that is to provide the excuse for some form of radical escalation, including, for example, something that they haven't done yet, which is direct attempts to kill members of the Ukrainian government and directly to target Ukrainian government headquarters. If we see that now happening in the days or weeks to come, well, you know, that could provide some substantiation for the idea that it was a Russian false flag operation. But then again, you know, we have seen both Ukrainian actions and apparently planned actions inside Russia. Recently, there's been an escalation of Ukrainian sabotage attacks, which are, of course, completely legitimate under the laws of war. Russia has invaded Ukraine. No reason why Ukraine doesn't have the right to strike Russia. You know, that does raise the question, which is obviously very much in the mind of the CIA and the Pentagon, whether such actions are wise. As to the accusation that Putin carried out these bomb attacks back in 1999, that is widely made. It has never been proved. And the most comprehensive and detailed biography of Putin by Philip Short, the British journalist, actually opposes that theory. It should also be pointed out that he didn't need bomb attacks to justify the Second Chechen War. Chechen radicals and international Islamist radicals, including many Arabs led by a Jordanian Khattab, had already carried out terrorist bombings in the North Caucasus. They had, of course, also carried out numerous terrorist bombings elsewhere in the world, including the West. And they had invaded the neighboring Russian Republic of Dagestan in an attempt to create an Islamic revolution there. So, you know, we generally accept that, Islamist terrorists elsewhere in the world carry out terrorism. And, of course, later they carried out well-known actions like the school massacre at Beslan. There's no inherent reason to suppose, at least not without clear evidence, that this wasn't the case, you know, back in 99. The role of Islamist terrorists in Chechnya has been greatly underplayed, I have to say, in the West.
To make this even more complicated, we go to another unsolved incident that stood outside of the war fighting earlier in this conflict. This is BBC reporting in these last days. Underwater explosions last September knocked two Nord Stream pipelines built to carry gas from Russia to Europe out of action. The cause of the blast is unclear. Formal investigations are still taking place. And you know, within these last hours, we've had yet more information identifying underwater craft near the Nord Stream 2 pipelines. Again, this is a report, putting Russian Navy ships near pipeline blasts is the headline. This is not proof. It's not even what you'd have to say is substantive evidence. It's an allegation by one side against the other. And I want to do the best thing to be careful and say none of this is a predicate for more fighting. It is increasingly mysterious, however, how this conflict is being waged. Is it in Ukraine? Is it in the minds of the public in Europe and Russia? Is it in the allegations that you can throw against the leadership of the other side? Is this escalation or the frustration of the combatants because they cannot resolve the battlefield? How do you hear these? And, you know, we had the Nord Stream 2 attacks. Now we have the Kremlin attacks. The pattern is clear. We're going to have another one as the war drags on.
Well, yes. And I mean, I think all of these factors are present. And certainly, I mean, the psychological battle is extremely important. And so far, I mean, Putin has won that within Russia. And the Ukrainian government has won it within Ukraine and in the West. As for Nord Stream, I have to say, I mean, once again, we know nothing for certain, but the balance of probability must be strongly against Russia having done this. First, because it had absolutely no motive to do so. You know, this is a Russian pipeline, and it was, intended also to give Russia geopolitical leverage over Germany. Blowing it up makes no sense whatsoever for Russia, it would seem. But the other thing, is... since Seymour Hersh made his allegation, which had, for me, a much greater plausibility, that this was in fact a US action in coordination with certain NATO countries, Denmark and Norway, we have had only after he made his accusation. Have we had these other suggestions coming forward? First, you may remember that it was that there was this suggestion that it was by a Ukrainian private group, which seems highly improbable that they would have the technology to do this. Now, 8 months after the bombing happened, we have this supposed information that Russian Navy ships were in the region. If they had been, they would have been closely monitored by NATO. I mean, this took place between, almost completely surrounded by NATO territory. We would have heard about this much, much, much earlier. I find this highly improbable. As for investigations, they are not happening. The Swedes have both gone nowhere with this investigation, it seems, and refused to reveal any information about it. They've refused to share any information, which is frankly quite extraordinary, with Germany, although Sweden now aims to be a NATO ally of Germany. This whole business on the West side stinks to high heaven, frankly, of posthumous, attempts at a cover-up. It's just... You cannot, if they didn't spot the Russian ships at the time, how come that they've suddenly spotted them 8 months later?
Excellent questions. And does it tell us anything about the ability of both sides to generate strange false information? They're confusing the public. Is that purposeful, Anatole?
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, the shocking thing is that so many Western journalists are willing to go along with this. One would have thought that the lies that supported the official lies that supported the invasion of Iraq, and if you go back much further than that, but you will remember the Tonkin Gulf incident that didn't happen but precipitated American involvement in the Vietnam War. Once upon a time there was the old American journalist principle. You go into any official briefing and what you ask yourself is, why is this lying to me? That seems to have gone out of the window as far as many Western journalists are concerned. Of course, it has long been thrown out of the window as far as Russian journalists are concerned, along, it has to be said, with the bodies of certain journalists apparently killed by the Putin regime. But, I mean, in Russia, you have to threaten to shoot people to reproduce lies. And it's a sad, sad world if we're only claiming to be better than the Russians.
Let's speak of peace when we come back. I'm speaking with Anatole Lieven of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. He is in the United Kingdom, and we're observing the unknowns of the alleged attack by the U.S. ordering, I guess, Ukrainian operatives to launch drones against the Kremlin with no one in it. No one in the building, and the alleged attack by either, choose one, Russia or Ukraine or the U.S. to attack the Nord Stream 2 pipelines. When we come back, remarks about peace recently. Have they been heard in Kyiv and Moscow? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.